Sunday school, 11 o'clock evangelistic service. There will be no PM activity here at the church. I realize it is President's Day weekend. Sandwich school's off. They have half day on Friday, and it's good to have a little break every now and then. So there will not be a PM activity here at the church on Sunday night. And so we want to remind you of that. We will be updating the calendar as we are into the month of February and month of February and March. And so we'll try to have those dates available to you, let you know what is happening when, and all that fun stuff. We are continuing in our study. I have entitled Divine Design. Last week we introduced the study, and we talked about, anybody remember the two pieces of fruit I had? Apple and oranges. We talked about the difference and the similarities. We talked about essentially God's divine design for the man and the woman. We went back to the book of Genesis. We're going to pick up tonight where we left off last week. But before we do that, I kind of want to give you the place we left off last week. If there we are. Last week we ended our study with man and woman living in a perfect symbiotic relationship. Him as the head, willingly providing for her, and she willingly helping him. Man's headship and provision for the woman, a manifestation of his love for her. Woman's submission and help to the man, a manifestation of her love for him. The man and the woman working together in complementary roles, not in competition, in complementary roles in order to fulfill the purpose of God. The Bible says, male and female made he them, and then he told them to subdue the earth, to replenish, and that they were to do this together, that they were to have this symbiotic relationship where one mutually benefits from the other. And this was God's design. This was God's divine design. Now, we have no idea. We have their speculation, of course, but we have no idea how long man and woman lived in this perfect relationship. Bible says specifically that they were naked and unashamed, and there's a lot that goes into that. It's for a different time, a different study. But they lived in this perfect relationship. One was not critical of the other. There was no strife. It was a perfect relationship. It was the perfect marriage. It was what God had joined together, man and woman complementing each other, both fruit, but also apples and oranges. God also gave them distinct roles. God also gave them differences even in how they were created. And so we looked at that to understand that while the world would seek to blur the lines, and the world would seek in our society today to say that there is no distinction, there is no difference, and that we should all just meld together, if you will, and there should be no distinctions, we understand that that is not God's way. God gave us a divine design in the scripture. And so we left off here. We left off where man and woman are living in this perfect relationship. Everything is great. They're not arguing. They're not fighting. They're not jockeying for position. They have no issues at all. This marriage is a perfect marriage. But then you have, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight, then you have sin and the curse. Then you have Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2 is great. They're in a wonderful, perfect relationship. They're mutually benefiting from one another. They are not competing. They are manifesting their love one for another. Him providing for her as headship and authority, and her submitting to him, manifesting their love one towards another. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But then sin. So we pick up Genesis chapter 3. I'll start in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now there's some specifics in there that are good to know. Evidently, if not in the immediate vicinity, he was around. The Bible says, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We know this as being the point in the Bible and in human history when sin enters into the picture. This perfect relationship between man and woman is now messed up. Sin has entered into the picture, and as a result of sin, there is a curse. But we need to understand why the curse happened. And we need to understand not just that sin came into the picture. How did sin come into the picture? How did humanity mess up? The Bible tells us specifically that both of them, Romans chapter 5, tells us that Adam's transgression. Timothy tells us the woman was in transgression. Both of them transgressed. And we know that both of them transgressed because they ate of the fruit of the tree. But how did they get to that place? How did they come to the place where they sinned? And they messed up and sin entered into the world. It's something that we should study because it helps us to understand the way the enemy worked back then. He is still working today. The serpent bypassed the leadership of the man and enticed the woman who was, by God's design, to follow man. Think about it. The serpent bypassed the headship and the authority of the man and went to the woman. Genesis 3, 4 said, and the serpent said unto the woman. Even if Adam was there, the serpent didn't speak to the man. The Bible says the serpent spoke to the woman. He said, specifically, Genesis 3, 4, and he said unto the woman. So the serpent bypassed this God-given design for the man to be headship and authority, and he goes to the woman and entices the woman. And when she sees that it's pleasant to the eyes, desired for food, and wanted to make one wise, all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the Bible says, fulfills all those things. She did eat of the fruit and gave also unto her husband with her. The woman then led the man. Catch this. This is important. The woman then led the man into committing the sin as well. The man who was designed by God to be leader, not follower. He was not designed by God to follow the leading of the woman. Rather, she was designed by God to follow the leading of the man. So we understand that here at the very beginning, the woman sinned not only by disobeying the commandment of God, but also by acting independently of the man in failing to consult with him about the temptation. The serpent bypassed man and went to her. What she should have done, at the very least, is said, hold on a second, let me go talk to the man. But she didn't. She acted independently. She acted outside her God-given role. She was designed to be the follower, not the leader. And now there is role reversal. And she is leading the man. And she gave also to her husband with her. God told the man he is to be the provider. And now the woman is providing unto the man. It's a role reversal. The man sinned not only by disobeying the commandment of God, but also by allowing the woman to lead him, thus failing to exercise his God-given authority and headship. Role reversal. Want to know how sin first entered into the picture? Role reversal. Man and woman, neither of them operating in their God-designed, God-given roles. That's how sin entered into the picture. Because both the man and the woman twisted God's plan for their relationship. Twist it. Reverse the roles. The marriage has not been the same since. Thought somebody would amen that one. Maybe you're scared. I ain't saying anything. One of those subjects, you just stay quiet out the whole time. You just let pastor teach, you don't say anything.
But we see it. Now we understand. And I'm not saying you didn't understand before. What I'm saying is that we now can readily see that how sin enters into the picture is man and woman, neither of them are operating in their God-designed, God-given roles. As a result, sin enters into the picture. And now, even now, catch this, guys, even and gals, even now, we are suffering the effects of the curse. Even now, you and I are dealing with, on an individual level and on a collective level. On a man level, on a woman level, and on the marriage level, we are dealing with the effects, what we might call the elements of the curse. Four main elements that you will see and you will find in the curse as a result of man, humanity, sinning. You will find these four elements of the curse. Number one, death. The day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Number two was pain. Genesis 3:16. Number four was work. That now by the sweat of his brow, man is going to have to work to provide. No more is the ground just going to yield its fruit. No more is he's going to have to till, and he's going to have to work. And then finally, strife. Strife in the relationship between the man and the woman. Now we touched on this a little bit last week, and I gave you kind of as a little commercial as to what we are going to get into in depth this week. I'm not really going to focus on the death, the pain, or the work. We know those are a part, and it's not that I'm trying to demean those things, but what I want to do in relation to us and in relation to our study is study this strife thing. Why, as a result of the curse, why, as a result of man and woman reversing the roles that God designed for them, why is there even to this day strife? Why do you and I, as a those of us who are married, why is it that marriages take a lot of work? And y'all are a tough crowd tonight. So let's look at Genesis 3:16. Where now God speaks to the woman. And the Bible says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, men do that. Ha, 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 ha. Wait. He shall rule over thee. That's men, yeah. See, that's what God said. I'll rule over you. Wait a second. Understand that the first part of that and the second part of that are both curse. Oh, wait a second. Both of those. You want to read? Maybe this New Living Translation will help a little bit in truly understanding the context. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. In pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Again, the man says, yes, see? I rule over you. But to understand the true elements of this curse and understand the reason why strife exists is because God did not intend for either of those two to take place. Both of those are elements of the curse. A woman's desire to control her husband and a man's desire to put a woman under his feet. Hello. Both of them are the product of a curse. With sin and its curse came the distortion of woman's proper submissiveness and man's proper authority. Both were distorted. Both were, as a result of the curse, corrupted. Women have a sinful inclination to usurp a man's authority. We laugh and we giggle. And men have a sinful inclination to put women under their feet. Both are products of the curse. Male chauvinism and female hegemonism are the product of man and woman operating outside their God-designed role. Man ruling and putting with the iron fist. I am the man. Folks, that is just as wrong as a woman usurping the authority of a man. A male being chauvinistic. Now, it's interesting to note that for much of our human history, us men, we have been for the large part in the error. I knew some women would get on board at some point. Because for much of human history, women have been seen as secondary to men. Listen, there is no more, and if you understand the context with which I say this, there is no more liberating power to a woman than the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no more liberating power to a woman than for her to understand her God-given role and to operate therein. All this feminism that's not feministic at all, catch it, is not God's design. It is not God's will. And for much of human history, where men were seen as all powerful and women were secondary citizens, which quite frankly is still the case in many countries of the world, and it's wrong. God never intended. His design was that they work in complementary roles, that they work together to subdue, to replenish the earth, to have dominion over it, that they together, working together in complementary roles, would fulfill his purpose. The unredeemed nature of both man and woman is preoccupied with self and therefore self-serving. You know what male chauvinism is? It's self-serving. I get my old lady to do it. Women's liberation movement, women's freedom, we dominate as women. Self-serving. It's because we become preoccupied with self. And you catch it. The reason why there's still strife is because both of these characteristics serve to destroy rather than support a harmonious relationship. Male chauvinism. I am man, hear me roar. You're a woman, you are under my feet, you'll do what I say. Destroys harmony. Listen. A woman usurping the authority of the man, saying, I don't care how he thinks or what he does, I'm going to do my things my way. Just as wrong. Both are elements of the curse. Both are outside of God's design. He never designed it to be that way. He designed it that man and woman would live in a harmonious relationship, symbiotic, where it is mutually benefiting one another. Him providing for her and protecting her and having authority and headship, not in a domineering male chauvinistic way, but in a loving, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Men, love your wives. Give of yourselves. Provide for her. She's not for you to dominate. She is for you and her to come alongside together in complementary roles, serving the purpose of God. But yes, there's distinctions. And yes, there is roles. And yes, we need to understand why society would seek to obliterate these roles, why society would seek to blur the lines between, why society would seek to say that men and women, are they equal in spirit? Yes, they are, without a doubt. The Bible says it. The Bible lets us know that in spirit, male and female, that's why the Bible says there is neither nor male or female. Notice the Bible does not say there is, therefore now, there's not man and woman. There's a difference. Male and female has to do with the essence, has to do with the spirituality. And he says, listen, there's now no more male or female in Christ. But do understand and make no bones about it. The same one that says that puts all sorts of distinctions between a man and a woman in their role in the family, and their role in the church, and their role in society. So there is divine distinction in God's divine design. There is, if you will, that the head of Christ is God, Christ is head of the man, and man is head of the woman. There is. But in a loving sense, as Christ gave himself for the, he loved the church and gave himself for it. So is a man to love his wife and give himself for her. He's not to do things that are self-serving. He's to do things for the harmony of the relationship. I'm sorry, but to truly understand, we call it the American dream, but it's not the pursuit of happiness in the sense of my individual fulfillment. It's in the pursuit of unity, where together we work in a harmonious relationship the way God intended, the way God designed it to be. Man and woman living together in way that God intended. Because when marriages are weakened, the home is weakened. And in the trickle down, all of society is weakened. As rebellion against God's divine design promotes serving and indulging self as the key to finding happiness and meaning in life. We are smack dab in the middle of a society that is saturated with this ideology. Do whatever serves you. Do whatever makes you feel happy. Do whatever makes you feel good. And we are led by our feelings rather than our commitments. Because if we're committed to God-given design and God-given role, if we are committed to what our Creator intended for us, then guess what? It's not about serving self. It's not about the man being chauvinistic and saying the woman is a secondary citizen and she should do what I tell her to do. No. That's not God's design. It's not about the woman saying, I can do whatever I want. I have no authority. I am the authority in my own life. Again, not God's design. Not the way God intended. So now we see the breakdown. If you study in human history, you will find many of the great civilizations, all of human history, the breakdown of the civilization began with the breakdown of the family. The family began to break. You see, we think that by some way we're going to be able to, society is going to be able to dictate all the way down to the family. And that's going to help us. Uh-uh. Don't work that way. Let me tell you what's going to help us. When the family starts operating in the God-given design and God-given roles, it has a positive effect upon society. It doesn't work the other way around. It only works when a man and a woman decide, hey, we're going to lead our family in the God-given design and the God-given roles. Then, as we lead our family together in that relationship, endeavoring to do those things that are pleasing to God and serve in such a way that He said is fit, then do we have a positive effect upon our children? And then do we have a positive effect upon society? Just as in the beginning, Satan continues to mastermind the blurring and subsequent removal of all human distinction by divine design, with the goal of undermining God-ordained authority in every realm of human activity, family, the church, and society. Just like He did at the beginning, He's still doing it now. Just like He wanted. Why? Because we were made in the very image of God, and us working together in our God-given roles, and us going by His design represents Him. It shows Him. It shows who He is and how He works, and it shows the beauty of man and woman working together in the relationship by God's design and having a positive effect upon society as a whole. It's no wonder the enemy wants to destroy. It's no wonder the enemy wants marriages to fail. He knows that when marriages fail, it has an effect upon a family. And the effect upon a family has an effect upon society. It's not really rocket science, guys. It's there. Just as He did in the beginning, He's doing now. But make no mistake, He's not content with just blurring the lines of male and female in the marriage role. He wants rid of all gender distinction. This is why. I'm going to be careful here, but this is why some of the issues that we're dealing with now that we didn't think we would be dealing with, some of those issues that 10, 15 years ago we thought were, you know, way down the road, we're now dealing with now, today, and they're happening in rapid succession. Now our own state legislator is considering bills similar to that of New York and Virginia. Well, how do you think that happens? Do you think that if we as a society are operating in our God-given roles, in our God-given design, do you think that is the result? Absolutely not. That is the result of man and woman not operating in their God-given roles. I said it last week. I'll say it again. You'll probably hear me say it throughout this study. Many of society's ills today have to do with the breakdown at a family level, with man and woman not operating in their God-given, God-designed roles. And so it's no wonder the spirit of our age. It's no wonder what we're dealing with in our higher institutions of higher learning. Let me ask you this. How much higher can you get in learning and education than learning from the Creator? How much higher can you get in your understanding with how society works than to go back to the one who established it in the first place? And here's the thing, for you and I as believers, it's like, you know, that should be common sense. Common sense should be we go back to the Creator. But if we are not careful, this type of mentality and ideology creeps into our families and creeps into our marriages. Where we say things like, well, yeah, that may be God's complete design, but with our modern day and society and, you know, the different, and we're going to talk about it, trust me. We're going to get into some of it, and it's going to make us uncomfortable. Because there are things that we as a society see as acceptable and are okay with that are not God's design. They're not. They're not the way He set it up. They're not the way He designed it from the very beginning. And here's the thing. If it makes us uncomfortable when we talk about it, we discuss it sometimes, and we feel like we have to skirt around some of the issues, and we feel like, well, maybe some of Paul's teaching were for his time, then we recognize, well, wait a second. Maybe the application that he was using in that sense for that church was specific for that church, but those letters made it, and they're a part of what we teach and believe today, because the principle and the foundation of what he taught is still God's design. Our humanistic world and our world that doesn't want, we just all want to be humans. Let's just all coexist. Really. We're going to all coexist together in this one big melting pot of genders and roles. How does that work? How does that, let me tell you what the end result of that is. The end result of that is anarchy and chaos. Because even in our corporate structures, and even in, many of you will go tomorrow to a place of employment, and that place of employment has a structure. That place of employment has people who are your boss or bosses, who have authority over you, and they have authority over the workplace. So we understand that even in a secular society, structure and order and roles work. This is my lane, I run in it. That's your lane, you run in it. Us each running in our lane, make things happen. What if, Brother Kellum, you worked at CAT for many years, Brother Dan, you worked at CAT for many years. What happened if all the employees just showed up at CAT and said, we're just gonna do whatever we want to do today? I usually work over here in this field, but I don't really want to work there today. I want to work over here. And you up there looking down on us, Mr. Boss Man, I want you to come down here and run all these levers and push all these buttons, and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to dictate what you do. What do you think the end result of that would be? Chaos. But somehow our world is convinced that we are going to be more productive as a society if that's the ideology that we accept. That we just throw out all those distinctions. We just throw out all those things. And even to the sense where government is so corrupt. And I get it. I understand. Well, you just do away. What would happen if you just do away with government? What would happen if you just decided there is no authority? You want to talk about absolute evil? Do we not understand that structure and authority and those things that God has placed even in this? That's why the Bible tells us to be subject unto them. Because there's authority there. And that authority is necessary for society to function as it should. And it's the same way. But here's the thing. We have somehow convinced ourselves as a society that the more distinctions we can get rid of, the better off we'll be. And that blows my mind. How? How do we think as a society that that's going to be better? That we somehow can create a design or design society to be better for everybody by there being no distinction. Whatever bathroom you feel like, go into. Whatever locker room you're feeling that day, just go in there. And that's somehow going to make society better? Oh, it's okay for, same-sex unions now to adopt and racial. Really? How? How is that going to help society? You want to talk about blurring roles? You want to talk about children growing up without the understanding, without distinction? We are creating the chaos. And we sit back and scratch our head as to why it's here. Hello? Let's get back to the book. Let's go back to the origin of it all. Let's go back to the Creator who created us all. Said, God, how do you want us to do it? What does your word say? How should I operate in the family as the man? What are the imperatives for me? What's essential to the correct operation of the family? Because I want to do it the way you say do it. I want those roles that are going to help society, that are going to be good for the common good of all mankind. What could be better for our society than for people to get back to the book and live by God's divine design? Really, what would be better? Nothing would be better than for us to get back to the book and do what God said do and live how God said live. Decide. Because guess what? Even as a man, there's submission that's necessary on my part. Have you ever wondered why? You probably have. The majority in many churches, the majority of members are women. What do you say? Do you realize that the woman, her creation, the way God created her, created her to be submissive? And so when a woman starts turning to God to be submissive, to take that unredeemed nature and start redeeming that nature, catch it. Submission comes easier for a woman. Because she's operating in a God-given, a God-designed role. Submission's more difficult for a man. Doesn't eliminate our responsibility to do so in relation to God. It's more difficult for us. All these roles and all these distinctions that God placed at the very beginning, if we will learn to operate in, we will see them for what they are as God's gift to us. I'm not saying this in an arrogant way. But masculinity and leading my household and being the authority in my household is God's gift to me. I must make sure that I'm using His gift in the way He said use it. Ladies, your submission, your willingness to be a helpmeet to your husband, it's not. Please don't let society convince you that it is a negative thing, that it is something to be shunned, or that it is something you need to get away from because it will oppress you, or it will keep you from living life. Please understand that is a lie from the devil. It is God's gift to you as a woman for you to be in submission as a helpmeet to the man. It is not a negative thing. I don't care what society says or how they try to paint a dirty picture of a woman being submitted to a man. It is God's design. It's God's gift to us. We function and operate in the way God planned. We, as a unit, As a marriage, we fight against the curse. We fight against that strife. We fight against the man wanting to rule over the woman. And the woman fights against the inclination to usurp the authority of the man. We do that through the power of God. We do that through going to His book and saying, okay, God, it's your way. It's not my way. It's not what I want. It's what you want. And so I will willingly submit to what you want because I know it's better. Believe. I work faith that says your divine design is better. In closing, you can stand to your feet. a marriage relationship, what God has given to us to fight against the curse and to overcome the strife that will result if we do not operate in our God-given roles. Husbands, love your wives. As God, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Women, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Make no mistake, men. Us loving our wives the way that God says we should love our wives, it's not easy. Women, don't think you have a more difficult job. Both of those fight against the curse. Both of those fight against what the enemy intends in blurring the lines. The most beautiful thing a married couple can do is draw closer together in their relationship as they draw closer to God. And as they conform to God's design, they willingly submit to God's plan, take the rightful roles, and operate therein. Men, it is not God's intention for women to be spiritual leaders in the home. It's not. It's God's intention that we, the men, would be leaders. And here's the thing. Even if the other party is not operating in their role, if the woman says, I refuse to submit, refuse to be under his authority, that does not negate the man's responsibility to still love his wife, give himself for her. Women, even if the man doesn't love you like he should, not giving himself like he ought, does not negate your responsibility to be submissive and to be a helpmate. I know that's a bone that gets stuck in the throat. It's hard to swallow. But it's God's plan. It's not my plan. It's God's plan. It's His divine design. Lord Jesus, we love you. And I'm so thankful, God. Oh, that you didn't leave any of this up for our own interpretation, God, but you specifically spelled out in your word, God, and you show us. I know sometimes it's hard to swallow, God. I know sometimes we live in a world that loves to rebel against you, God, and your will and your way, God. Oh, much of the world serves God, the God of this world, and his attempts to blur the line of distinction, God, and the roles that you have placed for each and every one of us. God, let us learn. God, let us look into your word. That's why it's so important that we study subjects such as these, God, so that we are reminded of our roles, God, and what you have designed for each and every one of us. The part we are to play to benefit ourselves and each other in society and our families. God, all those that are attached to us are benefited by us submitting, God, to your will in your way and conforming to your divine design. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. All that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you still love me, you can go home. God bless you.